Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here for the last day of the first quarter. Today we are talking about an update on the status of production for Giga Shanghai. Also got a rumor involving Tesla and the Boring Company, an update on Tesla Solar, a new patent, and a couple other items as well. Looking at the markets today, a lot of things saw sharp drops into close. The NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow all finishing down about 1.5%. Tesla right there with them at $1,077.60 to close the day. A very low volume day today to wrap up the quarter. Only about 16 million shares traded so far. Depending on what happens in after hours, this is probably going to be the lowest volume day of the quarter and therefore the year so far. Now that Q1 is in the books, at least for the stock market, a good time to check in on relative performance. The NASDAQ for the first quarter ended down 9.1%. Tesla, on the other hand, up 2% even. Tesla also significantly outperformed the S&P 500, which was down 5% for Q1. Another item that's always fun to reflect on at the end of first quarters is the Model 3 unveiling. That happened today, 6 years ago. Although I didn't end up converting on my reservation right away, and that $1,000 reservation price would have been much better served in Tesla stock at that point, I still remember waiting in that line along with a lot of other people like me to put $1,000 down on that car that I had never seen before. I also took half a day off of work to drive down to Illinois and do that, which was fun to explain. Shockingly, people didn't get it then, people still don't get it now, but we all know that was one of the most pivotal days in automotive history, and it was fun to be a part of it. I'm sure many listeners have very fond memories of that day as well. All right, back to present day then. We've got another relatively light news day as we await the Q1 delivery and production report this weekend. Tomorrow I'll go through the usual production and delivery forecast just so we understand the context when those numbers do come in, and then I'll probably do a live stream this weekend when we do get the actual report. But until then, we do have an update on production at Giga Shanghai. As we've been talking about, those lockdowns have been affecting Tesla's production schedule. Originally, it had been reported that Tesla was looking to restart production on April 1st. Reuters today reporting that that will not end up being the case, saying that the latest notice seen by Reuters said that Tesla has canceled production plans for April 1st and April 2nd. Quote, two people familiar with the matter said Tesla had yet to secure permits from the Shanghai government for its trucks to deliver assembled electric cars outside of Pudong to western parts of the city, end quote. To me, that doesn't sound like something that would limit production. That would be more of a delivery thing. Maybe there wouldn't be enough space for newly produced vehicles if Tesla can't remove those from parking lots. So that may be a factor, but it also doesn't sound like it's necessarily confirmed from these sources that that is the reason for not restarting production, because they also write that, quote, the company may have also opted to extend the suspension because of a shortage of workers, with lockdowns continuing on some housing compounds, one of the sources said, end quote. So I don't think we can be positive about the exact reason why. We're just going to have to continue to keep an eye on this, and hopefully it'll just be a couple more days. If not, then we'll have to continue to remember this throughout Q2, as it will start to eat into second quarter production. Hopefully Tesla can make up some of that lost time, because again, they have been supply constrained, but as we've talked about, suppliers are probably also dealing with some of these same shutdown issues. All right, next up, this is something that I would normally slot towards the end of the episode, but it seems to be getting quite a lot of traction pretty quickly. This is an update from Boring Loop LV on Twitter, follows the Boring Company very closely, but is not an official Boring Company account. They tweeted out today, quote, major update, on Wednesday evening, the Boring Company activated FSD 10.11.1 for its entire Las Vegas Convention Center vehicle fleet and ran several test vehicles without drivers. Many conference attendees enjoyed a flawless journey, further updates to follow, end quote. While that would be extremely exciting, I am very quickly throwing up the caution flags on this. First of all, we have talked about the situation with the Boring Company. As a refresher on that, both the Boring Company and Tesla have been in favor and are in favor of using autopilot and FSD in the tunnels, and so far, they have not been allowed to do that by the local government there. As a reminder, the restriction has been so significant that the drivers can't even use autopilot. I don't even think they can use traffic-aware cruise control. I think right now, all the driving has to be 100% manual. So to go from that to all of a sudden they're testing these vehicles out on a relatively fresh release of FSD beta that hasn't been out very long, and they're now running on that software several test vehicles without drivers, wouldn't it be a logical step to at least let them start using the FSD beta first with drivers versus making that leap? I mean, maybe they've been privately testing it and we just haven't heard about that yet, but that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and this tweet also goes a step further and implies that conference attendees enjoyed a flawless journey in these vehicles. I guess if you parse the words carefully, it doesn't explicitly say that. Maybe they're testing without drivers, and then separately they're just saying, hey, many conference attendees enjoyed a flawless journey under the normal circumstances with drivers, but it is strongly implied that these attendees did use driverless vehicles. If that had happened, I feel like we would have heard about it from more than this one individual source, or the source would have an accompanying video to share with that to back up those claims. And as I'm recording, I'm not seeing anything like that. So I would love to be wrong on this, but I am just not believing it at this point. I do see that this account does follow me on Twitter. So if you're listening to this episode and you have something that can actually back this up, please send it along. I would love for this to be correct. But for those many reasons, I remain extremely skeptical. I don't know, maybe this is another April Fool's joke gone awry, like Volkswagen last year, if people remember that. Volkswagen just decided that, hey, they wanted to go ahead and announce that before April Fool's Day, which is really not how that's supposed to work. Maybe this is another blunder like that. I think it's a good reminder to keep your guard up tomorrow, either way. But even if this tweet isn't accurate, at some point we're going to see a tweet like this that is true. Tesla and the Boring Company are going to figure this out. I had an episode, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, that this will likely be the first place where we see Tesla demonstrate truly driverless vehicles that are being used with customers in them. I do still believe that to be the case. I think Tesla still needs to solve some things in terms of unloading and loading. There's still quite a bit of logic that Tesla would need to add for a truly driverless vehicle. So even with the Boring Company, I do still expect that we would see drivers in there just to kind of handle some of that stuff for quite some time, even if it is mainly just a supervision task. All right, next up here, we've got a report from Electrek on the status of the solar roof. Electrek is saying that they have obtained, quote, an internal communication from Tesla's solar scheduling team saying to focus on solar panel rooftop retrofits as solar tile supply is low. In the communication, the team committed to not schedule new installations, end quote. So the last bit of that, to not schedule new installations, that would be the new information here. We had a previous report from Electrek back in February and even back to December that Tesla was having supply issues on solar roof. Tesla in February had told customers that, quote, these delays are broadly impacting the U.S. solar industry and are outside Tesla's control, end quote. And unfortunately, with this report from Electrek today, that does not seem to be improving at all. I think we're all aware that for some solar roof customers, that whole process hasn't been the easiest and breeziest. Shortages like this definitely exacerbate some of those issues, and Electrek talks about how there are customers that are kind of stuck in waiting without their roof tiles. Those customers do have dry-in roofs, and those stay waterproof for about 6 months, Tesla has told them. Obviously, that's not an ideal solution, and there can be problems with those dry-in roofs, but if that is the case, Tesla should be responsible for fixing those issues, and it does sound like that is what's happening. Obviously, a very tough situation for those customers, but hopefully nothing that creates anything that is unlivable or anything like that. All right, next up, we've just got a quick look at a patent that was published earlier this week. It was filed back in February of last year, and this patent is basically describing how Tesla is building their vision-based autonomous stack using a lot of training data and machine learning. Obviously, it is pretty detailed, but we have talked about these concepts on many occasions. One thing, though, that did kind of catch my eye was confirmation of something we've talked about when we see those Tesla vehicles out testing with LiDARs. Tesla walks through examples like that specifically in here, saying that, quote, in various embodiments, a machine learning model trained using auxiliary sensor data can accurately predict the result of an auxiliary sensor without the need for the physical auxiliary sensor. For example, training vehicles can be equipped with auxiliary sensors, including expensive and/or difficult-to-operate sensors for collecting training data. The training data can then be used to train a machine learning model for predicting the result of an auxiliary sensor, such as radar, LiDAR, or another sensor. The trained model is then deployed to vehicles, such as production vehicles, that only require vision sensors. The auxiliary sensors are not required, but can be used as a secondary data source. There are many advantages to reducing the number of sensors, including the difficulty in recalibrating sensors, maintenance of the sensors, the cost of additional sensors, and/or additional bandwidth and computational requirements for additional sensors, among others. End quote. So we've talked about this, Tesla has talked about this many times, but I just thought that was a very succinct way of explaining some of the advantages to Tesla's approach when it comes to sensors. All right, last couple of things for today. First, we've got a new subscription offering for Teslas. We've talked recently about a couple of these, most recently from Shell. Now there's a new subscription offering popping up from a startup called Kite that is going to have a Model 3 subscription from $995 per month. They'll offer a few different subscription options, including 3, 6-month, and 12-month terms. These sort of short-term subscription options seem to be popping up more and more. I think demand for that is probably increasing with more and more remote work happening. Maybe you just want to stay in a city for a part of the year and something like this makes sense, and hey, maybe your company can even pay for it. So it'll be interesting to see how those things evolve and how they end up comparing to offerings from companies like Hertz or Turo and what the economics look like longer term. Lastly then, we've got an update on Canada. Earlier this week, they shared out what they're calling their 2030 emissions reduction plan, which outlines $9.1 billion in funding to help reduce emissions, $2.9 billion of that going to charging infrastructure, and additional incentives to make electric vehicles more affordable. They also say that they're developing a regulated sales mandate so that 100% of new passenger vehicles sold in Canada will be zero emissions by 2035. They also say they have interim targets of at least 20% by 2026 and 60% by 2030. There's also funding for a number of other clean energy initiatives, and they are expected to share a little bit more detail on exactly what changes would be made, for example, to EV incentives on April 7th. So we'll have to try to remember to keep an eye on that, as there's something else going on April 7th that might be a little bit distracting down there in Texas. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow in Q2 with the April 1st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.